Good morning to you. So glad you're here. So glad to get to be with you. Thankful already for the worship that we've been able to do, the singing. I really appreciate Brian's message here at the table, the reminder of the sacrifice our Lord made. And he said he wanted to put that picture in our minds. That's what that's for. We need to see it. It is brutal and it is awful. And we need to see it because it was my fault that he had to go through all that. Never, ever do I want to forget that. So, thank you for being here. Glad that you are. At some point in time, somebody said, you know, I wish we could take our telephones with us. When we travel, when we go to town, I wish we could just take our phones with us so people could call us. Wouldn't that be great? You don't have to wish for it anymore, right? Cell phones are reality. You might wish they weren't. You're more connected now than you ever have been. But at some point, somebody wished for it. But now it's not wishful thinking. It's a reality. What if somebody said, you know, wouldn't it be great to be able to send letters to the people I love and not have to be so slow as to go through the mail? Take your pick now, right? It's a reality. Email and texting and Facebook messaging. And if you want to see them, you can get in front of your computer and you can Skype them or FaceTime them. It's a reality. It's not wishful thinking. Wouldn't it be great if this local congregation had elders overseeing it? Now we do. It's not a dream. Not wishful thinking. This is something that this group has prayed and prayed about and fasted and studied and worked toward. And God has said yes. This is what he wants. And I don't know if you remember, it's been a while, but in one of the first lessons we did, we talked about how it had to become our desire too. It's always been his. It had to become ours. And you made it your desire. We have two elders overseeing this congregation, Andy Bethay and Michael West. So when they had appointed elders in every church, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. To appoint someone is to set them in place, to put them in a position and give them a special purpose. The special purpose of elders is to shepherd the flock of a local congregation, to oversee that group, to guide them to spiritual growth. Matthew mentioned this in his prayer. For the first time ever, Eastside is scripturally organized. Let's talk about what that does mean and what it doesn't. What that means is we're organized according to the pattern that God set. What it doesn't mean is that we haven't been doing good work for a long time. That's been happening. That's been happening for a long time, and you have played a vital part in that. It needs to continue. But God's always wanted elders. It's always been his plan. Let's talk about their responsibilities. We did this when we first began, but let's remind ourselves. The Bible calls elders pastors and shepherds. And of that word pastor, Vine says it involves tender care and vigilant superintendence. I like to keep things easy. I think one way to sum up the duties of elders is to say that they lead, feed, and watch. Those three words give us a pretty good summation of the duties of an elder. So let's look at those individually. Elders are to lead. Much of that's going to be done through their example. Like a good shepherd, leading by example, leading the flock, their goal is for Eastside to be pleasing to God. Jesus is the perfect example. So if you go to 1 Corinthians 11:1, you remember what Paul says? Imitate me, even as I also imitate Christ. They should be striving to imitate Christ. So should you and me. That doesn't change at all. But as we see a good example, we should follow it. And we should be willing to strive for that ourselves as well. Jesus led by being holy and by submitting to the Father's will. Elders are to do that. They are to be holy, to submit to the Father's will. And when they do that, they will be the best leaders that they can be. They'll be the leaders the congregation needs. Turn to 1 Peter 5. Another thing that elders are to do is to feed the flock. 1 Peter 5, we'll look at verse 2. You remember Peter himself was also an elder, as well as an apostle, but an elder shepherding a local flock. Verse 2 there says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." Part of shepherding was making sure that the sheep were fed. And not just fed anything. Fed healthy food. Food that would help them to grow and get stronger. Elders have to make sure that this congregation is being fed the way they should. And is it getting encouraging teaching? Is that the kind of feeding that's going on? Is it getting foundational teaching? Those basic principles. Sometimes people don't want to study that stuff. You get away from those, you'll get away from God's plan. That has to be taught. Is it being taught? Elders will have to ensure that it is. They'll have to make sure warnings against sin and false doctrine are being taught. Not only from the pulpit, but in Bible classes, in home classes, and between one another. These things have to take place. Congregation needs all these things. The elders are the ones that make sure that spiritual food is being given. Elders are also to watch. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Elders are to guard our souls as best they can. Perhaps the most difficult out of all these things that they will have to do. Acts chapter 20. Paul, in sending for the elders of the church at Ephesus, he doesn't break it to them easy. He lets them know, this is what it's going to be like. This is how serious it is. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves." Remember, he's speaking to the elders there from Ephesus. "And to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." He says, I'm telling you, when I leave, trouble's coming. And they're going to come, and their desire is to chew this congregation up and spit it out. They will wreak havoc on it. You have to watch out for that. That is the duty that he's given to these elders. So dangers can come from the outside, things like false teachers. Just mention an example to you. That's not a danger just in Bible times. It's huge now. I had a chance Tuesday night at the gospel meeting in Auburn to talk to the two elders there. Just fantastic conversation. I spent like half an hour just asking them questions and talking to them. And they told me when they first started, one of the huge dangers they faced was a group that was going into people's houses and teaching things privately, making sure that the elders weren't invited and the elders didn't know about it, happening under them. That can happen from within, too. That's a danger. The elders have to be on guard against those things. It happened then. You read it here and you think, man, that's awful, but surely we wouldn't have. Yeah, Auburn did. That's an hour and 10 minutes away. Do you think it could happen here? It will, if diligence isn't taking place. They're also to watch out for sheep going astray. Sin will carry us away from the fold. Elders are to be on guard and to protect. So, we have elders in place. This direct line of leadership that God wants. Now, here's a question that's on a lot of people's minds. Now what? Man, it took us a year to get here. Now what? Let's just be honest, because this is new territory for many of our brethren, right? There are many here who have never had elders overseeing a local congregation. It's a time of transition, and let's just be honest, it's kind of scary for some who have never been under it before. It is, because the unknown can be scary. So what do we do? Remember, this is God's pattern. You can trust in that. It may be new territory for you and me. It's not new territory for God. He knows exactly how it's to go. This is his plan and has been all along. Trust in that. We asked for his help for a long time. Do we honestly think now that it's here, he's going to say, well, all right, hope it works out. See you guys later and leave us hanging? There is no way the Lord's going to do that. We continue to trust in him. We trust in his plan. We do our part. Now, another question likely is, okay, I understand all that, but how does this affect me? What do I need to be doing individually? The great thing is God gives us the responsibilities of elders. He also gives us the responsibilities of a local congregation to its elders. So I want to spend the rest of the time this morning talking about that. Responsibilities of the flock to its elders. And let's just start with this. This is the key to everything. The attitude of the members of the congregation will have a huge effect on the success of the elders. The elders cannot be successful unless the congregation is giving the support and strength that it's supposed to be giving. Doesn't matter how good they are. Doesn't matter how talented they are. That has to take place. And that comes down to attitude. And we've talked before, we talk about Daniel purposing in his heart. It all starts with a decision to have the right attitude, to take the right approach. So let that sink in. You and I can greatly help or greatly hinder our elders in their work. Let's talk about some of our responsibilities specifically. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. As members of this congregation, you and I are to have respect and honor for the work that's being done by the congregation, the work of the elders overseeing this congregation. We're to respect and to honor that. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 12. Paul, writing to the saints there at Thessalonica, says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Esteem them very highly in love, for their work is great. Do I appreciate the effort? And there's another question in there, isn't it? Do I love them? Do I love them and appreciate the work they're doing? That's on me. That's my responsibility to do those things. Notice the last part there of verse 13. Be at peace among yourselves. It's going to make the world a whole lot easier for everybody if that's the case. Also, 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, just giving a description of the position. 1 Timothy 5, 17, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine." It is an honorable position. You remember the words, we quoted this in one of the lessons of James A. Garfield. If history is true, he served as an elder over a local congregation of the Lord's people, and he stepped down being an elder when he became president of the United States. And he was quoted as saying, "I resigned the highest office in the land to become president of the United States." He had a healthy respect for the office of an elder. He appreciated it. It is a great work. Think about it. These men are watching out for the souls of this congregation. It will be taxing and it will be difficult at times. They didn't do it for the money and the fame either. I don't know if you noticed that or knew that or not. That's not why they did it. They did it because they love the Lord and because they love you. Let that sink into. They love the Lord. They love His plan. But they love you and me. That's why they agreed to this. They love our souls. They want us to go to heaven. Otherwise, they would not subject themselves to the kind of stress that comes along with this position. Do I appreciate the work they do? Now, the responsibility that I have, that you have, is to support the work. Turn to Hebrews 13. You and I need to cooperate and give our energy to the work of this local church. Now, that should have been happening already. Already should have been doing that. That's not new just because there are elders in place. If I haven't been doing it before, I need to get busy cooperating with my brethren in this local place to do the work and the will of the Lord. That is what we're here for. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Especially looking at the second part of it, we'll read the whole verse. "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account." Now, here's the section I want us to focus on now. "Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." The work of elders should be a work of joy. For that to be the case, the flock's going to have to support them. That's the only way joy is going to come from it. We should conduct ourselves in such a way that joy is the result. Did you know that elders have been advised by their doctors to step down from that position because the stress was killing them? Their doctors, worldly men, have said, "You have to quit. You're going to die. You will have a heart attack if you keep doing it." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I blame the local congregations in that area. in that case. You know, don't cause grief. Don't make it harder on them. It was hard enough to get them. Let's not make it any more difficult. And just thinking about that, there are congregations out there who will nitpick and fault find every single decision that elders make. They will complain about everything from the color of the carpet to everything. Israel did that to Moses. You remember? How did God feel about it when Israel did that toward his appointed leader? When they complained and nitpicked and griped, how did God feel about it? Numbers 11, verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. I wasn't going to read the last part of this verse, but I am, because it makes a good point. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of them in the outskirts of the camp. In case you didn't know from the first part of the verse how God felt about it, the fire coming down is a pretty good indication. He didn't appreciate that one bit. Moses was the one he had appointed. And these people nitpicked him and they complained and they rebelled. Elders are God's plan for overseeing a local congregation. Now, let me be fair. I don't think Eastside's a complaining group. I don't. I really don't. But it's not enough to just not complain. We have to do those things that are right. Turn to Ephesians 4, 16. Every member has to be doing their part. For the body to work like it's supposed to, for the body to be healthy and to be doing the work, every member has to do their part, whatever that may be. And the roles are different, and the talents are different, but there's a part to be played by each one. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Speaking of the church, I just want to... We actually read this earlier. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ. So that gives us our context. Now drop down to verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. This causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every part has a role to play. And when everybody does, the whole is better. The body is better. Look for opportunities to do good. I'll tell you, the elders are very likely going to give us some opportunities. They may ask us to do some things, and it may take us out of our comfort zone. Maybe things we're not used to. Take advantage of those opportunities. Do the good. You know, we talk about the parable of the talents and various things. Sometimes others see talents in us better than we do. I can assure you, the elders are going to be looking for talents and looking for ways to put them in use. Don't turn down those opportunities. Opportunities make us better. They make us stronger. Let's look to use those and take advantage of those. Pray for these elders. I know we have been, even more now. Pray for them. Pray for their wisdom and their health. Pray for them to be bold and standing up and saying what needs to be said, but also pray for them to be soft-hearted. And you may say, now you can't be bold and soft-hearted. Yes, you can. Paul was. Jesus was. The elders need to be. Pray for them in that fact. Imagine if you had the responsibility of watching out for 70 souls. Would you want people praying for you? I sure would. Remember them. Remember them every day. I mentioned to you, I talked to two of the elders at Auburn. They gave me two more things that they thought were just complete necessities as far as the congregation's responsibility in supporting the work. Two things they said. The first one was communicate. We have to understand how important it is to communicate with our elders. Becoming an elder does not make one a psychic mind reader, right? Before they can do anything, they have to know. They have to be aware of what's going on. And sometimes we may have to tell them. I can get mad because I was going through something and the elders didn't do a thing to help me. And then Les might ask me, well, did you tell the elders about it? And I say, no. I just assumed they would know. They're mortal men. They're going to try. I believe they're going to strive to know as best they can, but sometimes they're going to need us to let them know what's going on. Communication. You know, how would your family function if there was no communication going on? How well would that machine run? It'd be awful. Church is the same way. That communication needs to be there. Now, with that in mind, give them time to work. Once they're made aware of a situation, give them time to handle it. Because some problems take some time. Some problems take a delicate hand and not a bull in a china shop approach, right? Much of their work in handling a situation will be done behind the scenes. Give them time to do it. You know, I told the elders about that problem at least 2 days ago and they still hadn't fixed it. Well, give them time. Congregation is to submit to the elders' authority. Turn back to Hebrews 13 if you've left it. We'll look at the first part of that verse now in verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17, first half. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Our society hates the thought of submitting to anyone. Absolutely hates it. Just bucks against that, and the stiff-necked ox approach just does not want it. Submission is a part of life, and as Christians, we especially know it, don't we? Think about it. We do it every day. Wives, submit to husbands. Children, submit to parents. Workers, submit to bosses. Saints, submit to God. Citizens, submit to governments. We know this. This is something that takes place every day. Our society hates to admit it, but it is something that must happen. But submission is an attitude, right? It's a decision. It's not automatic. You don't automatically become a submissive person. You're going to have to will and purpose it in your heart to be willing to submit. Now here's the thing. We don't submit to elders because they're better Christians than us. We don't. They're not. We don't submit to elders because they're closer to God than we are. They're not. Why do we submit to elders? Because God said so. We understand this, don't we? My wife is smarter and more talented than I am. She is. She'll shake her head no because she's nice, but she is. And you know it too because you've known us 5 years. You're aware of that. Why does she submit to me as the leader of our household? Because I'm smarter? No. Because I'm the most talented? No. It's because God said so. It's the only reason. She loves the Lord. She loves the commands of the Lord and keeping them. And she loves me. And because she loves the Lord, she submits to me. Why will I submit to the leadership of elders? It's only one reason. Because I love the Lord. I believe in His plan. I believe He knows what He's talking about. And I want to do His will. That's the reason. It doesn't mean anybody's better than somebody else. Just get that idea out of our minds. And they will be the first to tell you that. I know they will. It's not about that. It's about following God's pattern. Now, turn to Acts chapter 5. I do want to mention this. There are limits to the authority of elders. Their authority comes from God. We absolutely see that. There are limits. They have authority over this local congregation. Our elders have no right to impose anything on South Fayette or Auburn or anywhere else. Acts chapter 5 verse 29 says that we ought to obey God rather than men. As a congregation, we could not submit to unrighteousness. I don't believe that's a problem that we're going to have to worry about. But if anybody is afraid of something like that coming up, what happens if the elders ask us to do something that's unrighteous? Answer's easy. You can't do it. You can't. Because you serve God first. Again, I do not believe that's an issue. But if anybody's worried about that, here's your indication. Here's your command. You serve God first, always, just like in any other situation. We are to be submissive to our government, right? What if they ask us to sin? We can't do it. Same idea there. But be very, very careful. Very careful in bringing accusations against elders. We must make sure that we never bring a false one. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses." Here's the thing. Honest criticism done with the right heart in the right way is good. It's good. And they would welcome that. And they would accept that. And I believe they would sit down and take it. There is a big difference between honest criticism done in the right way and false accusations. And it's a world of difference. It all comes down to the heart. So make sure, if we have a concern, I believe they will sit down and talk to you about it. Go to them and talk to them. Now, one last thing. I'm not going to say any of these are more important than the other ones. This one is extremely important, though. I have to continue doing my own work. Right? Having elders over Eastside doesn't change anything as far as whether I get to choose if I'm going to continue doing the Lord's work or not. Ephesians 4:16, we read that of each part of the body doing their part to make sure that the whole benefits from it. Just think about this. Elders don't serve a church to relieve us of our individual responsibilities. Whose job is it to teach the lost? It's mine and yours and theirs. But it's still yours. Whose job is it to build up your saints, your fellow saints? It's your job. Still your job. Still my job. Theirs too. But it was theirs before. Right? These things continue. We don't lose our responsibilities just because they're elders now. Who needs to go visit the sick? Two guys? 70. Who needs to go visit the sick? Who needs to pray for them? Who needs to take care of them? It's still the same. Those responsibilities are still ours. And I do want one thing. Why will I do that? Why will I teach the lost and be a light and encourage brethren and visit the sick? Because I love them. And I love the Lord. That's still on me to do those things. And here is one thing as well. Turn to Matthew 18. And I say this because it can easily happen. When problems arise between me and another brother, person, I need to handle it the way Jesus told me to handle it. Matthew 18, verse 15. Let's see what that is. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So let me say it again, because this a lot of times does not happen when elders are in place. If there is a sin against me by my brother, and it is personal, it's just between us, who needs to do what? I need to go to him. I don't need to go to Andy, and I don't need to go to Mike. I need to go to him so we can handle it and try to work it out. If we do, what happens? Andy and Mike never even know about it. You don't know about it. Nobody knows about it. We forgive, we forget, and it's done. That's Jesus' plan. Now, granted, it continues on. If he will not hear, then yes, take with you one or two more. Would that be a good time to tell the elders and let them know? I think it would. I think that would be wise to inform them of what's going on, even if you take others with you. But first, you handle your responsibility. You do it your way, the way Jesus said. It'll save a whole lot of trouble. There have been examples, and it's kind of funny because you hear the same story from different elders talking about someone will come to them and say, I'm just going to let you guys know what Brother so-and-so said to me. I just wonder what y'all are going to do about it. And the question they always ask is, well, have you gone to talk to him? I thought that's what you were for. No. Not yet. That's your job. Now, if it's a public sin, that's a different issue altogether. But if you can keep that thing under wraps and eliminate it before it becomes a problem, that's what Jesus is teaching here. That's the wisdom that we see in this verse. Elders are not a dumping ground for my responsibilities. So I need to do my work first. Now, it is going to be a lot harder for big problems to come up in Eastside if elders are doing their part and the flock is doing its part. Let's look at them again as we get ready to close. If the elders are leading, feeding, and watching, and we as a congregation are respecting and honoring the work, we're supporting it, we're submitting to their authority, and continuing to do our own work, it is going to be very, very difficult for big problems to arise. It's not impossible because Satan's talented, but it's going to be a lot harder if this is taking place. We do this. We do our part. The elders do theirs. Eastside will thrive spiritually. It will. And I think that's what all of us want. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That last part, that's my responsibility and yours and Mike's and Andy's and everybody else who wears the name of Christ.